Welcome to season 4, episode 2 of Bloomington Buddies. I forgot to post episode 1, so episode 1 is going to be posted the same day as this, but it's just going to be a bunch of old stuff. If you want to hear Jackson talk about Michigan winning the national title, you can watch that.
I'm saving that episode forever. Forever.
That's going to be his favorite episode, even though it was only like half length.
It's going to be the highest rated episode. It's going to be like get the most views, but all the views are going to be from me, though.
So. All right. So I think
just basking in my glory.
We got to talk about the NFL first and the divisional round that was, because conference championships are going to be this Sunday.
This Sunday. Yeah. The wildcard games and the divisional rounds have been fantastic so far. All the games have been so much fun to watch. And I just am heartbroken for Bills fans. I don't mean to get ahead of you or anything if you don't want to talk about that first, but Bills fans, the four falls of Buffalo, just keep adding more to it. Just keep adding more to it. They're probably going to have to make a part two to that 30 for 30 documentary with how many times it's been so close for them. And I'm heartbroken for them, genuinely. It's so hard to watch.
All right. Game one was Ravens 34-10 over the Texans. This was a game. I mean, it was tied in the first half.
Yeah.
But the Ravens kind of broke open the doors and are going to move on. Great season for the Texans. I mean, CJ Stroud, it's either going to be him or Puka Nacua winning offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah, any Texans fans who thinks that this season was, you know, kind of a bust, you know, like that's totally wrong. Nobody thinks that at all or anything like that. But if for some reason there's anybody out there that does think that it was a failure because they lost, like the Texans made it so much further this year than anybody thought that they were going to make it. This year was supposed to be the rebuild year. Like this year was supposed to be like what it was for the Colts, you know. It's like, okay, we'll get a couple of wins, you know. It'll be fun to see our new quarterback and his new role and everything, but like we're not going to make it far. The fact that they made it to this point is just astounding, and it just goes to show how incredible of a quarterback and incredible of a leader that CJ Stroud is, you know. So I'm excited to see where the Texans go in the future. Obviously, as a Colts fan, I'm not excited from a biased perspective. I'm not excited to have to play them in the future and everything, but the fact that we have Anthony Richardson in the future, It could be a fun rivalry. Like for me, the way I picture it, it could possibly turn into the new version of Manning versus Brady with CJ Stroud versus Anthony Richardson.
Maybe. I mean, people are already saying that's Mahomes and Josh Allen, even though I saw a stat that Joe Burrow is 5-1 career versus Allen and Mahomes. Anyway, the next game
that
was
one loss, though.
Yeah.
That's
next game was San Francisco over Green Bay, 24-21. I thought San Francisco would absolutely blow them out and embarrass Green Bay for the frauds that they are. But they did not. Green Bay hung around that whole game, actually had a lead in the fourth quarter. But
yeah, if I'm a 49ers fan, I'm scared right now going into the next round. Now, granted, you can argue the fact that it was such a torrential downpour during that game, you know, so it's hard to get anything going. Which, yes, that's definitely part of it. But at the same time, you know, it's your home field advantage. You're facing the Packers. Like, it wasn't supposed to be this close of a game the entire time. It was a fun game to watch. But, yeah, the game should never have gotten this close. So if I'm a 49ers fan, like, there's definitely things you got to pick up before championship season. So,
yeah, they did find a way to win over finding a way to lose, and they saved us Bears fans from watching a Lions-Packers NFC championship. I'm, like, gagging over the thought of that. But San Francisco moves on. Lions over the Bucks, 31-23. I thought the Bucks had this one at points in this game. They just had a bad fourth quarter. They came back for, like, a second, but they did not end up winning it. Baker Mayfield, you know,
everyone's
real gritty player.
Everyone's blaming Baker for the loss, which, yes, he definitely had mistakes that shouldn't have happened. But at the same time, like, he played his heart out that whole game, you know? Like, he's played his heart out this whole season, you know? It's a testament to the player that he is right now, you know, because it's before this season, he was done. Like, he was totally forgotten about in the NFL, you know? Yeah. I'm going to be totally honest. I didn't even know if Baker Mayfield was still playing in the NFL before this year. And now he's led his team to a playoff divisional round, at least. And he kept him close. He kept him close.
They definitely should at least should stick with him in the future. I don't know Absolutely. If they're planning on doing it or not, but
I hope they do. I really hope they do.
Is this the Lions' first NFC championship ever?
In like 30 years. Like No. That they were division champions in 30 years, I think. Well, I mean, I would be shocked to learn if this wasn't the same thing.
January 12th, 1992, 32 years ago.
32 years is the last time they
made an NFC championship.
Yeah. So I'm excited. They got Lions
murdered.
Fans.
They got murdered by the Cowboys in that game.
My soon to be father-in-law is a diehard Lions fan. Like, he's from Detroit, so he's everything like Michigan related, you know. Like, I was texting him after the game, and he was just so excited.
Is he a Wolverine guy,
too? Oh, absolutely.
Too?
Absolutely. Like, the past three – this has been an incredible three-week stretch for him as in terms of being a sports fan. So, he's excited.
So, the Lions got all the hype going around them into that NFC championship. And then the Chiefs over the Bills, 27-24.
Seems like every time these teams play, it's always kind of like an instant classic game.
Buffalo, what are we going to do with y'all? I mean, come on.
The two words that everybody in Buffalo hates to hear right now, wide right. Like, it's, again, if
What's
you go
really
back,
bad, though, is that Tyler Bass has been a phenomenal kicker. Like,
no,
all
exactly.
Year.
And, like, I feel so bad because, like, it was the perfect prime example of, like, the broadcaster curse happening, because right before he kicked that ball, it was like he's 9 for 9 in field goals, like that are either to take the game or to tie the game, you know, in crunch time, you know, like it was a really specific stat, but he's been 9 for 9 for it. And like all the broadcasters are like, oh yeah, he's been an incredible asset to this team, you know. And then he just, there it goes.
One of the guys I live with, his family is originally from Buffalo.
Oh,
he's a big, big Bills fan. He was so upset after that game loss.
God, my heart goes out to all Buffalo fans. If you watch the video of Josh Allen after, as soon as the kick happens, it's heartbreaking to watch, man. Like, he watches it go up and he watches it sail right, and he just like leans back in his chair and he's just like, are you kidding me right now? Like, this can't be how the season ends.
What's also true is I think if Buffalo has a fully healthy defense, they win that game.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, no, they had no Matt Milano. They had a bunch of other people hurt.
I mean, it sounds weird and it sounds like a cliche and you're probably going to get mad at me. But I mean, at the same time, you also have to know, like, playoff Chiefs are just a totally different team.
Yeah.
Like, Mahomes locks in and he is determined. And I mean, he's the best quarterback in the league. He's one of the best players in NFL history, honestly. Like, they were putting up so many stats on the next day after the game. And, like, he's only 28, 29 years old or something like that. This is, like, his 8th or 7th or something like that, you know, AFC Championship appearance. And so it's just, it's incredible. The dude's insane.
All right, so going on to conference championship weekend. Two games, Chiefs-Ravens at 3, Lions-49ers at 6:30.
It kind of surprises me that they have Chiefs-Ravens at 3 o'clock. And Lions 49ers at 6:30, like as the later game, the prime time game.
I think a lot of people are going to want to watch the Lions and see if they make it.
That's fair. Yeah.
So game one, Ravens are currently a 3.5-point favorite at home. Who do you like in this one, Jackson?
I want to say the Ravens, but like I just said, I just got done like ranting about the Chiefs and their playoff form, you know? So, I mean, I'm probably going to go with the Chiefs, I think, just because it's hard to go against them. You know, I saw a really funny thing. Well, my friends and I in the media school and IOSTV, we were talking about this game and we were just kind of like, well, all around, like, no fan of the NFL wins. Like, the whole situation, it's just all kind of screwed, because if the Ravens win, then another Harbaugh wins a championship. If the 49ers win, then Jack Harbaugh wins. If the Lions win, then the entire state of Michigan wins. And if the Chiefs win, the Chiefs win again.
No one's happy. You know?
Like, no one's happy at the end of this, the end of this playoff.
All right. I think that the Ravens are the way better team. Like, way better team. And I think it's an advantage to the Ravens that they haven't played the Chiefs in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Like, if they played the Chiefs and whooped their ass in the regular season, the Chiefs would be like, all right, we need to change this, 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 yeah. then we're going to beat them.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
And they get home field.
I mean, I think it's going to be a very tight game.
I think
I really could be talked into either or.
The thing is the NFL wants the Chiefs to win this game. Not even like trying to say that it's like a conspiracy. The NFL wants the Chiefs to win this game.
Because like the first year that Travis and Taylor are dating, then they go to the Super Bowl. Like Taylor being there at the Super Bowl is going to be.
Here's the thing, though. The Ravens are just so much of a better team. I got to take the Ravens. They're just so much better, I feel like.
And I don't blame you. Like
I said, in multiple regards.
I don't blame you at all. Yeah, like I said, I could really see this game going either way. Like, both are really good teams.
It's also because the Super Bowl logo is red and purple. I don't know if y'all have seen that. Like, the one where the Bengals played the Rams, it was yellow and orange, and the Rams played the Bengals. And then for last year, it was green and red, so the Chiefs played the Eagles. And this year, it's purple and red, so they're going to say it's 49ers-Ravens. I totally believe that that's going to happen. And then the, well, you know that's not actually real, right? It's like, but it's going to happen. So for the second game, look, Lions, you've had a great run. They're not beating San Francisco. I think San Francisco and Baltimore are just a tier above every other team in the NFL.
Do not count them out, though. Like, that game against the Packers was sloppy. It wasn't good.
They're not going to play like that 2 weeks in a row, though.
I don't know. Like, I do not count the Lions out. The Lions are very, very good. You can't count them out, though.
They're good, but you want to talk about, like, sloppy. The Lions, if we're going to go that route, they have a 1-point win over the Rams and an 8-point win over the 9-8 Bucks. So, like, if you want to narc on San Francisco for being sloppy against Green Bay, you could technically say the same thing about the Lions.
That's fair.
They have it at home field. They're 7-point dogs. I think just San Francisco is just a step above everybody. I think they're going to win.
I think I'm going to go with the Lions.
You're going Lions?
I'm going Lions. Lions Chiefs. Why not? I'll go with it.
Everyone wants a Lions Ravens Super Bowl, and nobody wants Chiefs 49ers.
Nobody wants
it. Again. I don't know. It's going to be San Francisco, Baltimore, just because the logo is yellow and not yellow. It's because the logo is purple and red. I've been saying it since like week 5. It's what's going to happen. Next year, it's green and purple. So.
Packers making it?
Fuck no. I hope not. I'm thinking like Eagles, Ravens. I don't know. Maybe.
You said it's.
It's purple and green.
Purple
it's
and
like,
green.
It's
okay.
Like Mardi Gras because it's in New Orleans.
Okay.
So next year, it's probably going to. Ooh. I'm trying to think of like.
Okay. No. Jets. Jets are making it.
No way. Bro, if the Jets make
first year with Rodgers. First year. Jets, the Jets make
Jets,
Super Bowl.
No one's ready for a Jets-Vikings Super Bowl.
That would be incredible. Because I forgot about the Vikings, too. So it's like.
Nah, no, nobody's ready for this. I also think it was like Vegas isn't ready for a Browns-Lions Super Bowl. You know, everyone goes to Vegas or like, Vegas ain't ready for me, and then they just like lose all their money.
Vegas ain't ready for
me. But like, you know, that's what people say, right?
No, yeah, I get you.
If the Super Bowl was Detroit and Cleveland, Vegas would shut down. Like, it would just be a madhouse.
It would.
If it was that. So I don't know. We'll see. I think it's 49ers Ravens though. And then, what, we got the Pro Bowl the next week. Oh, that'll be fun. Said no one ever. And then the Super Bowl
Peyton versus Eli, I think,
Are
right?
they drafting the teams?
I think so. Well, they're the coaches of each Pro Bowl team, I think.
So Eli's the NFC coach and Peyton's the AFC coach?
I think so, yeah.
That's cool, I guess. Oh, you can get tickets for $35. All right. That seems expensive. No, I'm not going to that.
For the Pro Bowl? Oh, my God.
It's flag football now.
No, yeah.
It's actually flag football.
No,
they
I know.
Play with flags.
I know, yeah. I'm saying I agree with you in terms of, like, the $35 thing is, like, it's cheap, but to go see the greatest football players in the world play a game, like, that's very cheap to go see some of the best players.
I guess, until they all opt out because they don't want to go.
Yeah.
I wonder how good our flag football team could compete with the AFC. That's great. All right. In like a four-quarter game, if they spotted us 100 points, do you think we would win?
No. I love you, buddy, but no.
Tyreek Hill ain't ready for me. Let's see.
Vegas ain't ready for me.
By the way,
Tyreek Hill ain't ready
for me. So, ticket prices, $500 gets you to Ravens Chiefs. $400 gets you to Lions 49ers. Get in price.
And then thousands upon thousands of dollars for the Super Bowl. Lowest, because no matter who plays, lowest, it's the biggest.
Lowest event tickets in the world. Right now are $6,400.
$6,400 for the Super Bowl?
Actually, I clicked on Vivid Seats. It says bummer. No tickets available. We'll see.
I'm curious. Let me look on SeatGeek and let me see
I'll find a bunch. I'll look at TickPick. I use TickPick because there's no fees. Please sponsor me, by the way. TickPick. please sponsor me. I use your app more than like anything.
All right. I'm looking up.
Let's see.
Ooh. Lowest number.
$8,000 is the lowest one on TickPick.
I'm finding $7,000 on SeatGeek. I'm finding $7,000.
Yeah, but SeatGeek has fees. With fees,
it's
probably like $9,000.
That's the thing about SeatGeek. It's like, I love them, but at the same time, it's like,
I'm going to see what the most expensive ticket I can find is.
On
TickPick.
There are a couple reds here. Oh, my God. There's a red seat that I found on SeatGeek. $20,000 for a nosebleed section seat. No fucking way.
Let's see. What the hell? All right. The most expensive one that I found. Eight tickets in a row, right?
Yeah.
Eight tickets in a row. 10th row, 50-yard line. $40,000 each.
Oh, my God.
If you play, hold on. I'm going to do the math here. 40. So it's 40,477.
I am curious.
Times eight for the row. Does anyone want to spend $323,000?
Oh my God.
For eight of the fellas to go to the Super
eight
Bowl?
Of the fellas? No. So it's funny that you mentioned that because I saw something on Twitter like a couple days after the national championship game. And it was honestly a great plan. I don't remember who did it. It was like a higher up guy on Twitter. I can't remember who it was, but he basically sent out a tweet saying, any companies out there
that are willing to
buy tickets for me and like six of my friends to go to the national championship game, like we will wear whatever you want. If you want us to wear a QR code on our chest, if you want us to wear like specific branding, like spell out a message in our shirts, like we will do it. And I can't remember what the company was, but they had them dressed in like bright orange, like to differentiate themselves. And they also ran like a promotion where if anybody at the stadium saw them in their bright orange shirts, if you took a picture with them, the first like 10 people to do it or whatever, 100 people got like $50 or something. They said like the estimate that this entire stunt, if you want to call it, costs like $50,000. But the revenue that they're gaining from it is like insane.
I saw that. That was cool.
I can't remember any specific details. It's a weird story for me to tell. But like, just look it up on Twitter or something like that. Like national championship.
Here's the thing.
Like
that's also very much like a trust thing. They very much could have bought on the tickets and then they just didn't do it. So I think it was cool that they did that. I did see that. I don't remember what company it was. But I thought that was so cool.
It was so funny, though, because they got to go to the national championship for free. They were just like, if you buy us our tickets to the game, we will wear whatever you want.
It was like it became like a Where's Waldo thing.
And he tagged a bunch of companies. He was just like Amazon, Nike, whatever, you know, like whatever company. He's like, if you buy our tickets, we'll do it.
I'm surprised someone actually like took him up on it.
Right? But like, from a major company like Amazon, I would expect them to probably not do that. Yeah.
I don't even remember what company it was.
For like a mid-level company that could still afford to do it, like it's good marketing. It's good marketing. You saw it at the World Series a couple years ago with the Smile movie that came out, like that horror movie. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
It wasn't this past World Series, but the one before. There was a new horror movie coming out called Smile, and instead of spending money on trailers and posters and advertising and whatever, they bought tickets to the World Series right behind home plate, and they had actors go and wear like bright green and blue and orange shirts and like literally stand up and like just smile at the camera because they knew they were right behind home plate, so they would always be seen.
I don't remember seeing that.
A couple of times, security guards had to come walking down and be like, sit down, and they'd be like, sorry. Okay. And they sat back down.
That's crazy.
Look up videos of it. It's so funny.
I'm going to see if I can find anything. What? Smile movie
World Series. Like, there's a bunch of pictures online. Like, people would the studio that made the movie. I think it was Blumhouse.
What the fuck is this?
I think it was Blumhouse. But, like, is they hired actors to go to the World Series and sit behind home plate. And then, like, instead of watching the game.
The creepiest thing in baseball right now.
They just stood up and, like, that's did, like, so this evil, creepy smile.
It wasn't even just at the World Series. It was at, like, A's, Mets. Like, what the, why? My God.
It's a cheap marketing strategy, but it worked, though. People went to go see the movie. Like, people were like, what the fuck is going on right now?
That's crazy.
And people saw it, and they were like, all right, I guess I'll go check this movie out. So it's... honestly, low key, like a brilliant marketing strategy, and I'm sure much, much, much cheaper than spending millions of dollars on ad campaigns and stuff like that for the movie. So,
do we want to talk about IU basketball?
I mean,
we can.
I guess, yeah, we can. But I mean, there's not much to talk about right now. I mean, lost to Purdue. Very next game, they went on the road to Wisconsin, lost 91-79.
All right, all I'm gonna say about IU bet, we'll save this. Look, they've had by the time this Illinois game comes around on Saturday, they will have had 8 days to prepare.
Yeah.
I better see a team that comes out with at least something. Like, I'm not expecting a win. I'm expecting, like, at least a competitive, hard-fought game.
I mean, this is I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you, and
I think they can win, though.
I don't think they can. I really don't think they can. This is a bad basketball team. You want to know how bad it's gotten? Don Fisher.
Oh, yeah, I heard this.
The Indiana basketball broadcaster went on the air at the end of the Wisconsin game after a 91-79 loss after CJ Gunn was ejected. He said, quote, I am embarrassed of this ball club, not because of the score. Like, that just shows how bad this team has gotten. But not just from a basketball standpoint, but from a discipline standpoint as well. This team is not disciplined at all. We got guys getting ejected left and right for the stupidest things.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what are we doing, guys? Like,
I'm going to defend CJ Gunn really quickly because the guy from Wisconsin, like, was leaning his head, like, on his shoulder. And he, like, pushed that off. And then, I've been crushed by a flying elbow. I mean, like, yeah, he probably shouldn't have done that, but, like, that guy in Wisconsin sold that a ton. Doesn't matter. They still lost. They definitely could turn it around, and I think this week, hopefully, they will turn it around. Because here's the thing. They have some, I would say, pretty easy games after the Illinois, because they're home against Iowa, home against Penn State. I think they win both those.
Regardless, though, if we turn everything around, it's going to be the same thing as it's been the past, like, 3 years at this point now. Like, if by some miracle, after all this, we're able to make the tournament, we're going to knock down the first round. Not making it far.
So do you think they should fire Woodson?
I don't think, no, they should not. He's only been here 3 years. They should not fire Woodson because all of this is not on him. It's on the players that we have on the court. Like, he was dealt a bad hand this year just simply because we lost the two best players in recent IU men's basketball history. So, I mean, this year was going to be a rough one regardless. I don't think we thought it would be as bad as this because I think we all thought Xavier Johnson and Trey Galloway would be much bigger contenders.
Xavier Johnson is just a bad player.
No, yeah, he's just a bad basketball player.
I'm sorry, like, he's not good. He's just not good. You're in your sixth year of college, like, average more than 3 points a game.
It's crazy, like, how big of a drop-off it's been. Because, I mean, he's been fine the past few years. Like, he's been good the past few years. And this year, I'm guessing it's just an off year for him or something like that. But
he's coming off injury. Don't care. You've had all that time to recover. Don't care.
I don't know. Maybe the injury was worse than what a lot of people thought it was. I don't know. But it's crazy that, yeah, he's averaging, I think at this point, yeah, 3 points per game. Like, that's just absurd.
What makes me the most upset. That's what
Gabe Kupp should be averaging right now. Granted, he probably is averaging that.
Yeah,
yes.
But did you see have you seen the numbers on, like, how much better they are with Gabe Kupp on the floor?
Oh, my God. Like, yeah.
I will say, the lineup of Kupp, Galloway, Mbako, Renew, and Ware is the fifth most efficient five in college basketball.
The fifth most efficient?
Yes. They're the fifth most efficient lineup in all of college basketball.
Like, that's insane. Because
and the bench fucking sucks. They're terrible. They're so bad.
Like, that's the thing. Our starting five is really good. Like, I shouldn't say really good, but the starting five is a good roster of guys. The thing that we get in deep trouble for, yeah, is our bench and our free throws. Nobody can make a free throw. Nobody can make a free throw to save their life.
I know.
And so, like, the plan essentially at this point has become to do what Purdue did. And it's to get Mbako and Ware, get those guys in foul trouble, get them off the floor, bring their bench guys in, and let's just stop them, you know? Like, that's kind of what the battle plan has become against IU. So we need guys on the bench to step up. You really need those guys to start stepping up. And we just need to start dedicating like an hour or two of practice on just free throws. Like, it's insane how we can't make anything and we can't get the free points.
What annoys me the most is that this team has like so much potential. Like, they've had games where you're like, this is a team that can go far in the tournament.
Like, literally
and then you have games where it's like, wow, they're not even making the NIT. They're making the CBT.
Like the Minnesota game, we got off like at the end of the first half, we had like a 20-point lead at the end of that.
The game against Maryland too.
Or I think it was Maryland. Yeah. It was Maryland, both of them. Not Minnesota, But yeah, the game against Maryland was great. Like, everyone was doing great. Well, not Xavier, but like everyone was doing their jobs. And by the end of the first half, we had a 20-point lead. Now, the scary part is that every single time that we have a comfortable lead, it never feels comfortable. No matter how big of the lead we have, it never feels comfortable because we can always just cut it in half, bring it back to a 5-point game or whatever, you know? Like, that's just the thing with this team is that no lead feels safe.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think if they make – here's the thing. All I'm concerned about is the possibility of them making the tournament. Because if they do, anything can happen in the tournament. Anything can happen. I'm telling you this right now. 20 wins is the mark. If they get to 20 wins, I think they'll make it.
I don't know. I am very, very confident. Like, yes, anything can happen in the tournament. But based on how the way that – this team has played the past 3 years in the tournament. I'm not holding out hope at all.
I know.
Like, with our two best players, our two first-round draft pick players, we only got past the first round, and that was it.
Well, they did lose to a team that made the Final Four, so it's whatever. All right, here's what I'm going to say. I'm trying my very best to stay up. I think
somebody should.
They'll probably lose to Illinois. I think they beat Iowa at home. I think they beat Penn State at home. They'll probably lose at Ohio State at Purdue. Then they have four games. It's Northwestern at home, Nebraska at home, at Penn State, home against Wisconsin. I think they can and probably should, and they have to win all four of those.
But after seeing how they played just on the road against Wisconsin, like, I'm not holding out hope. We were on the road, but we lost by 20 points.
They lost by 12. But
was it?
Yeah.
I'm not very optimistic right now about this team, just given the past few weeks that we've had.
We'll see. I think maybe it can be done. And also, there's always the Big Ten tournament, so
there is.
There's still time to figure it out. I really hope they did something this week. They have to have done something this week.
The Illinois game is Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to have done something this week. I mean, I'm going to lose my mind if they didn't do anything this week. Other news in college basketball, if we want to look at scores from yesterday. Michigan Purdue beat Michigan 99-67. Whoopee, who cares? Houston over BYU 75-68. Houston's really good, man. They're really good. South Carolina upset number 6 Kentucky 79-62. In a game that really wasn't even close, people should probably start putting some respect on South Carolina's name because they have some good wins. They're 16-3, so shout out Cox. Texas beat Oklahoma 75-60. Oklahoma, they're fraudulent. I'm sorry. They haven't beaten, like, a single good team. Like, if I'm looking at their win, they have no good wins. Like, oh, I mean, neither does IU, but all right, I'll give them Iowa State as a good win. But, like, every good team they've played, they've lost to, and it hasn't even really been close. So Oklahoma's ranked 11th, but they're fraudulent. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Duke beat Louisville. Louisville's bad, man.
Yeah.
They're bad.
83-69. Like, that's...
Louisville's 6-13. They have a loss to Chattanooga. They have a loss to IU. They have a loss to DePaul. They have a loss to Arkansas State. Like, it's just bad to be the Louisville basketball fan. That program, wow. Wisconsin beat Minnesota 61-59. Did you see the end of this game?
No, I did not.
So Minnesota was fighting all the way to the end because, you know, rivalry game. They're going to keep it close.
Mm-hmm.
They were down one. Final seconds. Guy walks in, turnaround jumper. They called an offensive foul, and it was really soft.
Wow.
It was a really, really soft offensive foul. I did not agree with it at all. But Wisconsin gets the win at the very end. They're a good team. Dayton ranked 16th, 16-2. They just continue to win. They beat LaSalle. They're on a real big hot streak since they lost to Houston. So shout out Flyers. And then Creighton beat Xavier 78-65. Or no, yeah, 85-78. I don't know why I said that wrong. So yeah, today what do we got? Auburn at Alabama. That'll be a really good game.
That'll be really good.
Top two teams in the SEC currently. Auburn's 5. Auburn's really good, dude. Mm-hmm. They're
number 8. They're really good.
I saw them play IU. That team is really good. Really good. Illinois at Northwestern will also be a really good game. So stuff to watch out.
State rivalry, yeah.
And then anything Friday, Wisconsin, Michigan State. And then Saturday, Purdue at Rutgers could be good. There's really not that many good games this week, if I'm being completely honest with you.
Yeah, they're fine.
All right.
Yeah, Indiana-Illinois is probably the biggest one to look forward to, I guess. Well, Texas Tech-Oklahoma is a good one.
On Saturday, yeah. We'll see. Do we want to talk about Caitlin Clark?
If you want to, yeah.
This actually really pissed me off. So if y'all didn't know, Iowa was playing Ohio State in women's basketball. It was like the number 2 ranked Iowa Hawkeyes. I think Ohio State was ranked in the top 10. And Ohio State beat them. It was a great game. And they rushed the court, which I don't think I've ever seen a court storming in a women's basketball game. I just don't think that I've ever seen that.
But again, that just goes to show the phenomenon that Caitlin Clark is, you know? I mean,
Good for the sport of women's basketball.
She gets people excited about the sport, you know?
So Caitlin Clark, while they're rushing the court, is sprinting off the court for, like, no reason. She's just running as fast as she possibly can.
Well, I think it's understandable to get out of the way because she knows people are going to storm the court because they just beat them,
she
you know?
She runs into this one girl that, like, has her phone up and is recording because that's what you do when you storm the court. And Caitlin Clark pushes this girl to the ground. Complete, like, both arms extended. Pushes her to the ground. This girl, like, goes flying, gets straight up because she's fine. Caitlin Clark does a ballerina spin and then flops over to the ground. And she looks like she is dead after pushing someone to the ground. And every single person, media outlet, well, this is why you should get rid of storming the court. And this is why you need to have people protecting her. And this is why this. And this is why that. She pushed a girl to the ground and then flopped. The game's over. You're not getting that call. Sorry. That really... Okay, Ohio State was ranked 18th, by the way. I was looking for the game cast. But, like, oh, my God. She's a great player. Like, I'm not denying how good of a player she is. Drama queen. That's what she is. And I didn't like that.
I don't really have much to say on it just because I never saw what happened then. Like, I just saw the video that you showed me right before we started recording, so... I mean, I don't really know. This is Caitlin's account for what happened. She said, quote, I was just trying to exit the court as quickly as possible. So I started running and I was absolutely just hammered by somebody trying to run onto the court, Clark said. basically blindsided and, you know, kind of scary. Could have caused a pretty serious injury to me and knocked the wind out of me. But luckily, my teammate kind of picked me up and got me off the court. Their AD already came and apologized to me, so I really appreciate that.
Blindsided when you're looking at, when you're, like, running straight at them is kind of crazy. But, yeah, I'm sorry. Look, she's a great player. She's undoubtedly the probably the best college women's basketball player there ever was. And she's going to be the most hyped WNBA player there ever was. But she's just I don't know. She loves that everything's about her. I don't like that. Other news in the world of women's basketball, IU beat Purdue. Yay. Good job, IU women's team.
Sydney Parrish is out for, I'm guessing it looks like a while right now. She showed up to the court one day and she had crutches and she was in a boot. So, I mean, I'm not sure what happened there. I'll have to look more into that one. But, I mean, obviously, as one of our starting five, that's a huge blow to our roster.
Iowa, Indiana, Ohio State are all with one conference loss. And then it's kind of just everyone else from there. Nebraska and Penn State are okay. Rutgers is 0-8 in conference for women's basketball. They're bad. But, so, yeah, IU could definitely win the Big Ten regular season again. They get to play Iowa again. Women's basketball games are, like, free for students, right? Because I'm going to try to go to that game.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Because I don't know if that's going to be, like, too hyped of a game to where they're going to not want that. I don't know. We'll see.
Do you mind if I divert real quick to a quick story on the NBA?
One more women's basketball story. TCU does not have enough players to play. TCU has, like, 5 available players on their team because they're all hurt. Or something. They literally had to, like, forfeit back-to-back games. They're, like, holding open tryouts.
Is it really?
Yes. Like, I feel bad for TCU women's basketball.
But I saw that they just had a big win, it looked like, I thought.
I don't know, but, like, they literally have, like, a situation where they don't have enough players. It's kind of crazy. They're not even a bad team. They're 15-4. They beat UCF, but they had back-to-back games against Kansas State and Iowa State that are just forfeited. They were undefeated, and then they lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a row, and 2 of them were forfeits because they just don't have enough players.
They just don't have – wow.
So, more walk-ons joined TCU after a rash of injuries.
That's kind of crazy. Not kind of. That is crazy. To divert a little bit real quick to...
I think I know what you're going to talk about for the NBA.
Well, I mean, big news, at least as of yesterday, for the NBA. Almost seemingly out of nowhere, Milwaukee Bucks fired their first-year coach, Adrian Griffin, after leading them to a 30-13 record.
Yeah, I don't...
Fired him halfway, a little over halfway past the season.
There has to be something else going on behind, like, the scenes.
I don't know what's going on there, but yeah, again, 30-13 record.
Did they give, like,
they're
a reason?
They're number 2 in the Eastern Conference.
Do they give a reason?
I'll have to look deeper into it, but I couldn't find anything right now. But as of today, according to ESPN, like, has official sources in there, they have in their back pocket for their next head coach,
Doc Rivers is not a good coach. I'm sorry.
Like,
that man cannot win in the playoffs.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know
right
how
now.
They pulled,
I mean,
that off.
It'll be exciting to see what he can do in this environment, with this team environment, you know. But I mean, just the whole situation is just so weird. Like, a first year coach, yeah, Adrian Griffin leads the Bucks to a second place. They're second place in the Eastern Conference right now, right behind the Celtics. But yeah, it's just so
they didn't
weird.
Give a
30-13 record. I'll have to look more into it.
There's something that's not being told. Like, he had to have done something.
You go ahead, and if you have anything else you want to talk about, I'll look into it a little bit more. But
Joel Embiid dropped 70 points in 36 minutes. That's literally a bucket a minute. Like, that's crazy.
Like, two major nights. You said 72 points he's had?
He had 70.
70 points.
Against poor Wemby, bro. It was against the Spurs. Poor Wemby.
Yeah. Ugh. He's a baby, man. Come on.
No. I'm looking at it. Oh, Wemby. Oh. But also, Karl-Anthony Towns dropped 62 points And they lost. And the Timberwolves lost to the 10-31 Charlotte Hornets. Look, guess what? What's it called? His coach literally was like, yeah, bro wasn't passing the ball. Like, that was not an impressive performance. Like, literally, they're not, like, that did not help them at all. His 62 points. He's not a team player. Like, you got to do more than that, man.
It's crazy.
You got to get your teammates involved.
That's what I've heard a lot of people say is, like, it's impressive. Yes, 62 points, but.
Team lost.
The team lost, you know?
Like, I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen a coach be like.
But it was impressive, though, because the first half, he had 40 points alone in the first half, I think.
Yeah, he had 44 in the first half.
And so, yeah, I think. But he really started to slow down the second half. So,
yeah, like, I don't know. I'm not impressed. It's like Zach LaVine. I can't stand Zach LaVine. Like, when I was a Bulls fan, I can't stand Zach LaVine because he'll score like 50 points in a game, but he'll allow 70 points on defense. Like, who cares if you can't defend? Got to guard somebody.
I mean, so sorry to go back to the Bucks thing real quick. According to this article, according to this USA Today article, it really sounds like it was kind of more Giannis wanting him gone just because he's been, according to this, Antetokounmpo really has been satisfied with the Bucks' play. Quote, when you're up 20, you got to put him away. He said after an October 30th loss to Miami. We weren't able to do that tonight. Hopefully we can learn from this. And then they talk about losing to Indy in the in-season tournament and everything. So really, as of right now, it just looks like it's really more Giannis wanting a change of management just because he's not satisfied right now. So which is a winning mentality, but at the same time, it's like you got 30 wins, man.
It's also like you can't have the players calling the shots, man.
It really feels like Giannis is going championship or bust when it comes to this season. Like the past few seasons, he's been talking about how, just because you lose in the playoffs doesn't necessarily mean that it's a failure. Based off his actions right now, a lot of this season, his mentality is like, we win or the entire thing is a failure. Especially because they got Dame in there. But
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just a weird, crazy situation all around, I don't know. But I don't even know what I was going
to
say.
Yeah. What other sports are there to talk about? There's hockey.
I'm not too versed in hockey right now. I wanted to start watching more this year, but I just haven't been able to find time to watch a lot of the games.
My beloved Toronto Maple Leafs are fourth in the Atlantic Division because they have no defense, but they have don't be a Leafs fan. Save yourself the trouble. They did just get a good 3-1 win. They just wrapped up a 4-game West Coast road trip. They played Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, and Seattle. They went 2-2. They 1-2, lost 2. I don't know. We could talk more about hockey when the playoffs get closer, but right now the Leafs got to figure it out because currently
Jets number one in the Central Division.
Yeah, currently the Leafs are in fourth, and the Red Wings are 1 point behind them in the Atlantic. I think the Leafs will make the playoffs. I don't think they'll end up missing it. Because usually what happens with the Leafs is they start really slow, and then it's just an agonizing season, and all their fans are miserable. Leafs fans are very similar to IU basketball fans. And then they'll turn it up in the second half, and then they'll make the playoffs, and then they'll just lose. So there's that. Here's the thing, though. In terms of the team that has the most points, it is currently first place in the entire NHL, the Vancouver Canucks. Good for them.
Honestly, yeah. Like I said, this season I wanted to start getting more into hockey. Just unfortunately, I kind of fell off, I watched the first few weeks of the season and everything, but then it just became too much. Like, I couldn't keep
who are you up. Like, a, do you have a team that you're like a fan of?
I don't have a dedicated team right now.
Should we give here's what we should do. If you have, we should give you a team to root for. You have to root for, like, to a T for the rest of your life.
I thought about going for the Wings just because, if I'm a Michigan fan, it's like, okay, it's still relatively, you know, like the distance game, I guess, is really what I was playing. It's just like, okay, I could be a Wings fan.
But currently, you don't have a team?
Nothing set in stone, no.
All right, here's what we should do if you're down for this.
Okay.
I can generate a random NHL team, and you have to be a fan of them for the rest of your life. Like, to a T.
President of IUS TV, Emma, she really wanted me to be a Vegas Knights fan because she's a Vegas Knights fan. So
you could be a Leafs fan.
I could be a Leafs fan. I could be a Knights fan. Another person in IUS TV wants me to be a Blackhawks fan.
Right now, I have a random hockey team generator pulled up.
I have to cheer
whoever,
for them.
How about this? Whoever... Here's what we're going to do. If all right. The teams are listed 1 to 32.
Okay.
So pick a number 1 through 32, and this is your new favorite NHL team for life. You have to be a fan of them.
Is this, like, ordered, like, number one is the best team, or is it just random?
Each team is given a number. There's no real order to this.
Okay.
Like the Canucks are first place right now. They're not one in this.
Yeah. Okay. I want to say number two just because I've been number two my entire life. Like, I was – like, Jeter was my guy. But I don't think I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to go with – okay, we're going to go with Jeff Gordon's number. We're going to go 24.
24? Okay, so I want to talk about your number two. If you would have picked number two, you would have been on the Arizona Coyotes. That would have been rough.
Because, like, I don't know much about hockey, but I know the Arizona Coyotes would have been bad.
That would have been bad. You said 24?
24.
Jackson, your new favorite NHL team that you have to root for the rest of your life.
Okay, hang on.
I might have to get you a jersey.
All right, go ahead.
Your new NHL team is the St. Louis Blues. They are currently sixth in the Central Division with 48 points. They're not a great team, but they're not, like, bad either.
I was gonna say, that's not bad. That's not a bad team. Like, there's definitely way worse teams out there. There's definitely way worse teams. And it kind of semi-sort of makes sense. I spent a summer in St. Louis, so I was like, oh, I could be a St. Louis fan if I ended up moving out here. I'm not going to move out there, but, you know.
All right.
Could line up. So, St. Louis Blues. All right.
St. Louis Blues, you have your newest fan. Please welcome Jack Lindner.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm so honored. And, course, you know, our... Tonight
they are...
My St. Louis Blues, our great goaltender, Jordan
Binnington.
We have Braden Shen, our center. You know, I'm just... Those are my guys, man.
What's it called? Tonight, the St. Louis Blues will be at the first place Canucks. puck drop is at 10 p.m. Eastern time.
You know what? I'll tune in for a few minutes.
I expect you to watch that game.
I will be tuning in for my guys.
So every single episode from now on,
I have to do a Blues check-in.
We need a Blues check-in, and I'll check in on the Leafs. So, do the Leafs play the Blues?
Jackson,
like,
how are your Blues doing today?
Let's see. Tuesday, February 13th. Oh, that's right before Wednesday when we film.
Oh, do they actually play each other soon?
We'll see.
That's funny.
All right, I think that's going to do it.
Oh, you know what's even worse, though? The Blues are behind the Coyotes in the Central Division.
Are they really? That's crazy. Look, you don't want to be a Coyotes fan. Like, the Coyotes actually aren't even doing that bad this year, but they're going to find a way to screw it up. They're going to find a way.
The Coyotes are in fifth in the Central Division, and the Blues are in sixth.
I wanted you to, when you said two, I wanted you to say two so bad, and definitely did the Arizona Coyotes.
You know two's my number, though. You know I was a Jeter guy growing up, so a lot of times I would have picked that, but I was like, nah, I can't do that. Like, I can't do it right now.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you, Producer Jackson, for... participating in the random NHL team.
Go Blues.
Fantasizer. Go Blues. All right. Take care, everybody.